Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you and thank you for joining in today, brothers and sisters, and for honoring the Lord and putting time aside, especially devoted to Him. He's worthy, isn't He? Well, today we're going to go into a new letter, which is study number 19, the letter S, and we're going to study the subject of separation and what the Bible has to say about separation. And that's a pretty, tricky subject in society today, because it seems to be one of their little, people are kicking that little, kicking the side of their crib and everything else over this thing of separation. And if somebody says that they don't want to be part of somebody else's group or don't want to be part of something or something like that today, everybody gets all high and ears go up and hair stands up and they have a problem with that. But the Bible's never had a problem with separation. As a matter of fact, the Lord is a God of separation. He shows all throughout the Scriptures the matter of separation and the subject of separation. Now, we're not talking, when we talk about separation, we're not talking about separation as in I'm better than you, like the world and society and all this minority train and everything else is going about and doing today and having so much difficulty with. We're talking about what the Bible says about separation. We're talking about when God says something about separation, you can be sure that it's righteous and that it's true and that it's necessary because God said it's necessary. Now, we're going to talk about the first thing that the Lord told, every time the Lord destroyed the earth and He restored mankind and humanity, one of the first things the Lord told everybody was spread out and don't live on top of one another and leave each other alone and you'll have peace. And that's something that man is trying to say that God is trying to separate everybody because He don't want everybody together. They're exactly right. But man does not want to admit how come God doesn't want people together and on top of each other. Because when I heard a fella say one time, you take a dog and a cat and tie their tails together and throw them over a line, you might have union, but you don't have unity. There's some truth in that. It's pretty simple. Now, you take a whole bunch of human beings that are different. Every single thing, that's not what Darwinism and evolution teaches. They're trying to say that everybody is the same exactly and we're all relative to one another and you're part of me and I'm part of you and da-da-da-da-da-da. That ain't the way it is. And if you sit back and you just tell the truth to yourself, and this whole thing of bringing everybody together and all this matter, I'm all for peace. But the Bible says until the Prince of Peace gets here, there is no peace. And the Lord said there is no peace to the wicked. So we got two strikes against us right there. Okay, and the third strike is that you have three enemies that are working against you, and one of them you're living in, and that's that flesh. The second one is the world, and the third one is the devil himself. And the Lord, when it comes to the matter of separation, He has laid out the matter of separation in the Scriptures. And if we will, we're not supposed to think like the world. We're supposed to think like what the Scriptures say and what God says. So when we go into this matter of separation, we're going into it as somebody that loves God, somebody that respects what He says and wants to believe what He says. And if it goes completely and utterly against the world, then one of them's got to be wrong. I'm voting for the Lord, okay? And you should too. And not because we want the world to be wrong, but because they are wrong. And when they separate themselves against God, they've separated themselves against us. We're not the ones that want to be separate. We want everybody to be Christians and everybody to be in the body of Christ. But that's not what they want. And that's not what you wanted when you was a child of the devil and out there running around. But the Lord had mercy and grace on you. So, having said all that, we're going to go into this matter of separation. But first of all, I want to read you a couple of scriptures from the Apostle Paul concerning this teaching that's going on here. And kind of just a little piece of my heart to you. The Bible says, and my speech, this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, that's my wish. That's my wish, that I never get to the point to where I think I'm trying to be wise in front of you and smart and have you slobber all over yourself every time you hear me. Not like that. I just want to demonstrate God the Holy Ghost working through me with His Word, and that you would profit in such a way that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay? So that's just something I wanted to share with you, and I don't even know why I did. I guess because I thought it was important, and it's the Word of God, and it tickled my heart when I read it. Separation. The issue of separation should be and is one of the most important Bible doctrines taught in the Word of God. It's a subject which has to do with the way that we live and the way that we conduct ourselves in the church, and also has to do with standards. Yep, standards. Now, although many deter from this great matter and pay the consequences, it still stands as a command and not a suggestion from the Scriptures. You say separation is a command? Well, when we get into it, and you hopefully you're looking to seek what God says about it, and when you hear the answer, you're going to submit to it and do it exactly the way that you would want to be pleasing before your Lord. Yeah. But such a study, it could quite easily become a list of taboos, you know, but that's only part of what the Lord intends. And as we enter into this study of the Bible, it's important for you to grasp the principles involved as well as the practices outlined. And that's going to be the first part of the study that we're going to get into is the principles and the practicalities, the practices of separation and the differences between them. Now, not only what we do, but why we do it. Now, Not only why we behave in the matter that we do, but why we do. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And you know they do. So what's the Bible teaching us there? That if you hang around with evil communications and corrupt and things that are corrupt, it's going to corrupt you. It's going to corrupt your manners. If you participate in evil communications, it's going to corrupt your manners. That's why you have to be separated from certain things. It's to avoid things happening that you don't want to happen in your life, and to keep from offending your God that you love. And to walk as a person that has integrity and dignity and cares about what kind of human being you are before your God. Now, we're living in a world of rapidly declining moral and spiritual standards. And when we say rapidly, you can just earmark that. You can put your little two fingers up beside that, because that's the truth. It's rapidly declining. Things are getting just as immoral and ungodly, and there are no standards anymore, even in the elderly. I mean, this generation that's going away, or that's at the point of going away, or not being anymore, let me say that. The generation just above us, 70s and 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds, they're probably, they had standards. Even the most, when I was a boy, even a drunk wouldn't cuss in front of a woman or wouldn't, or, you know, things like that. They had standards, and it was in society. It was part of the moral character of society. That's not the way it is today. In this world today, morality is a shame. It's something that that is a shame to look at. The Bible says that they glory in their shame. The uglier they can get, the funnier they think it is. They glory in their shame. And spiritual standards. You know, this decay is seriously affecting Christians and churches, though, to the point that it's often difficult to tell Christians from the ungodly apart. James chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Now, with a new relative ideology being used and incorporated into society, and it's doing it on purpose. That's socialism, and the Antichrist is working behind all this, and the devil's working behind all this, and he's pulling it all together. And you can see it if you're a Christian and you're living in a mindset of what the Word of God says, and you're looking at things spiritually like you're supposed to. You can see it. You can see what's going on. Around you, and you can see it as a whole, and you can see it broken down, and see how the enemy is just bringing everything together as a one world, unified monster. Now, this relative ideology being used and incorporated into society, it's vital for the Christian to take heed to the matter of separation in his walk, especially today. And we should study this study with intent, that you intend on changing the things that are going to be pleasing to the Lord and that are going to separate you from the things that you ought to be separated from. Now, one of the words in society today that people grit their teeth about is obedience. We studied about that. Another word in society today that people frown on and eyebrows raise about and people grit their teeth and despise is separation. They think if you have any kind of manner of separation, even though they participate in separation themselves, if anybody separates themselves against anybody else, it's a cult or it's unusual or it's something to raise an eyebrow about. Well, that's all brand new thinking in society, because when I was a boy, people didn't think like that. If there was some characters down the road that were misbehaving and drunks and doing all that kind of stuff down the road, my mom and daddy told us to stay away from them. And most of the other people did too. Why? Because that's not what we want to be involved in. We're not that kind of people. But you say something like that or try to teach your children something like that today, and you're going to get in some big trouble, because now you got the government raising your children and all these other organizations that think they want to control you. The Lord said for us to submit until it starts telling us to go against our God. Now, Jesus said something that was interesting. I think it was Peter, I'm not sure, or somebody asked him, "Who is our enemy?" And you know how the Lord answered? He said, "If they're not against us, then they're for us." Now, usually in society, when you said something like that, you would say it backwards. If they're not for us, then they're against us. In other words, if they're not actively trying to do what we're doing, then they're against us. That's the way society is about separation today. If you're not showing yourself as a unified member of some kind of clown that walks around with his or a he-she or whatever it is that he thinks he is. There's over 50 or 60 kinds of sex that you can put down on an application now. It's ridiculous. And if you don't like the ones that are down there, you can make one up. Well, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. Well, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. Well, I'm a this, that, and the other. I'm an other. But walk around, I mean, when we seen people with green and purple and bright orange hair, we thought we was usually at the circus. We thought that was a clown that did that. And we was right. They are clowns. Now, you don't want to have any part of that and be influenced by any of that, because you have an opinion about what's right and wrong and what morals and character and integrity and what God says about all that. But in society, they say, if you're not for this, then if you're not for us, then you're against us. So see, you're immediately being attacked because you're trying to separate yourself from all this foolishness that's going on in the world. And plus, because your God says to do it. Now, the Lord didn't answer that way, though. The Lord said, if they're not against us, then they're for us. Completely different answer, you see. So, just because somebody doesn't join us does not mean that they're against us, you see. Completely different answer. So, let's go ahead and begin and get into a topic in this subject of separation in the Scriptures. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is exactly what is meant by separation concerning the Scriptures. What does the Bible mean when it's talking about separation? Does it use the word separation? Yes, it does. The Scriptures use three or four different words that basically mean the same thing or around the same thing, could be thought of as the same thing or talking about the same thing in the Scriptures. There's four words used in the Bible which have just about the same meaning. One of them is separation. One of them is sanctification. And one of them is holiness. And one of them is called the saints. Saints. And all of these have a basic meaning, a root meaning, of being set apart. You're set apart. You set yourself apart, and you have been set apart, depending on which part of separation, which aspect of separation we're talking about, either positional separation or practical separation, which we're going to get into in just a minute. Now, when we say that God is holy, that means He is set apart from all His creation in righteousness. That's one thing I've always admired about the Lord, is that the Lord will not ever compromise His righteousness for anybody's sake. The Lord will not do anything wrong to save you. He will not do anything wrong to keep you from dying. He will not do anything the Lord's not going to do anything wrong. He is set apart on that matter. He is separated on that matter. He is holy. Aren't you glad of that? Ain't you glad that you got a God and a Godhead that would not do anything to sin? I'm glad of that. If the Lord would sin, what have you got? You ain't got nothing. Buddha was a sinner. Muhammad was a sinner. Confucius was a sinner. all these people were sinners. You can't teach somebody to be separate and have authority behind your words unless you're practicing it. And that's one thing that the Lord doesn't compromise. He does not compromise His separation of His sanctity and His holiness and His separation. The Bible says in Psalms, Psalm, that's what I'm looking at. Let's see, Psalm chapter 92, verse 15, that's it. The Bible says, to show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. No unrighteousness in the Lord. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And I'm glad we have a God that has no unrighteousness in Him. Whenever you go to the Lord to find out what is clean and what is right and what is upright and what is holy and what is to be separated and set apart, He is an authority on that because He never compromises that. One thing that God will never do is sin. He will never choose to sin, ever. Another scripture is John chapter 7, verse 18. The Bible says, "He that speaketh of himself," this is the Lord talking, "he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." No unrighteousness is in him. Jesus was holy. Jesus never sinned when he was here. Never did. He could have, but he didn't. And he didn't cheat. He depended on God the Holy Ghost dwelling in him to keep him from sinning. And Jesus never would. He never chose or never would have chosen to sin. And he never did. That's why he can be our Savior. He's holy. And he paid the penalty for our sins. And he paid it with holy blood and righteous blood. That's why we have propitiation, where the Lord will accept the payment. You see, if you or I and some of these other people put all these hooks in their back and drag big rocks around with their skin where they're bleeding all over the place and bleed, and they think that they're making a big sacrifice, it doesn't matter about their sacrifice. And the reason it doesn't matter is because they ain't got the right kind of blood. Their blood is tainted. It's sinful. And it can't pay the penalty of unrighteousness and sin. The only thing that can pay the penalty and redeem mankind is pure, holy, separated blood. And that's what Jesus brought, was pure blood. It was God's blood that was shed on Calvary. You see, another, you know, separation means set apart. When we say that God is holy, that means he is set apart on purpose from all his creation in righteousness. Now, another thing is, when we say the Bible is holy, we mean that it is set apart from all other books. Let me ask you a question. When you're growing up and you're thinking about the Bible, now probably not this generation coming up now, I have actually talked to some teenagers and asked them if they knew who Jesus Christ was or ever heard of him, and I've gotten answers where they had no idea who he was. Used to, there was no such thing as everybody. Even if you was a drunkard, a whoremonger, or one of the meanest people in society, there was no such thing as that you did not know who Jesus Christ was. Whether you loved him or whether you hated him, you knew of him. Nowadays, there's people that are ignorant to his name, to his being, to anything having to do with him. They have absolutely no idea who he is. When we say that the Bible is holy, we mean that it is set apart from all other books. When we were growing up, we knew that the Bible was separated from all other books. It was given respect over all other books, no matter what it was. At least in our family it was. Now, we wasn't a religious family, and we didn't go to church, but well, if you cursed or said something about God, you got slapped in the mouth. Okay, there was respect for the Lord and fear for the Lord, but we didn't go out of our way to serve the Lord, you see. But I'm glad to say now that my family highly respects the Lord and fears the Lord and loves him. But it's been like 50 or 60 years to get us there, you see, and God's word to change us, like the Bible says. But not only is God separated, now remember what we're talking about, separation. What does the Bible say? Well, in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." The Bible tells us that the word of God is pure. Is pure. The Bible says, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things." Pure. God says that His Word is set apart. It's pure. We're talking about separation. Now, when we're taught to sanctify the Lord in our hearts, this means that we are to set God apart from all other things in our heart. In other words, the Lord gets priority in our life. The Lord gets the say-so. He gets the last word. He is the authority. See, whoever the authority is in your life is the one that gets the last word. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. That was the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Mark and the Gospels that talking about the new commandments and the new covenant under grace. Under grace. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind and all thy strength. You set God apart in your life from everything else. And He is number one, and He's the final authority. Separation. Okay, so now that we got a meaning roundabout meaning about what the Bible talks about when it's talking about separation, it ain't talking about separating yourself from blacks or separating yourself from a minority or separating yourself. The Bible does talk about separating from different people and this, that, and the other, and we'll get into some of that. But the Bible is not, you want to talk about a prejudice book. Now, the Bible is prejudice. It's prejudice against sin. It's prejudice against ungodliness. It's prejudice against a lot of things. And the Bible doesn't say that sin is going to be cast into hell. Sinners are going to be put in hell. You see, there's a big difference there. Big difference. I mean, it's one thing to fall down in an airplane. It's another thing to fall out of an airplane. You see. So let's talk about another thing. Now, there's two aspects of separation in your life. One of them's called positional separation, where you are separated positionally. Your position in life and your being, and now I'm talking to Christians, is set apart in Christ. I have been set apart unto God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified." Remember the meanings of that word, set apart. One of them was sanctify. "By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Because of what Jesus done and you accepted Him as your Savior and you were born again and you're in the body of Christ and born again, then you have positionally been separated from this world. You're not part of the world anymore. You're part of heaven. You're just not there yet. Your position in Christ is that it says we are through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It ain't going to happen again. Your position, because you have believed in the Lord and trusted in the Lord and what God's Word said about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has separated you positionally, and positionally you are already in heaven. You're just dwelling in that body. But one day that body is going to get buried with a shovel, and you're going to go to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You are positionally separated. Okay, and there's nothing that can change that. Once you're in Christ, it's once for all. Christ died for you, and the Lord didn't give you temporary life. He gave you eternal life. You're never going to die eternally. Okay? Your body's going to die and go back to the dirt, and the Lord's going to resurrect that thing and change it and fashion it like unto His glorious body and give it back to you, and it ain't never going to die again. But unless the Lord comes and gets us and we're raptured, you'll be changed on the way to meet Him in the air. But positionally, you're separated, okay? And there's nothing that you can do to change that. You're in the body of Christ, and that's the way it is, okay? But there's another form or aspect of separation that you have to deal with, and that is practical separation. While you are still in the body, and you're still down here in the earth, and you're still having to do with this sinful body. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There is no good. Jesus said, if you be an evil, you see, the problem is not what you do. The problem is who you are. You're a sinner. You're evil, the Bible says. When Adam sinned, evil fell upon all men. Sin fell upon all men, for all have sinned. And the Bible says if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever thought a bad thought? If you've broken one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it, the Bible says. Now, that's how God is separated unto holiness. There's no compromising having to do with God's holiness. If you want to be with the Lord in heaven, you have to be holy. And we had no way of doing that because we've sinned. And we're sinners. And we're evil. You ain't got to teach a child how to do bad. You got to teach a child how to do good. A child automatically going to do bad. As soon as he starts figuring out how to steal, he's going to steal. As soon as he figures out whether he can get away with lying to mama, he's going to lie to mama. Did you do that? Uh-uh. That's his first reaction because he's evil. It's not what you've done. It's who you are that you need to be saved from. But once you're born again and once you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been separated positionally unto God. You no longer belong to the world, to the devil. You're no longer a child of darkness. You're a child of light now. You're born again. You're in the body of Christ, and you're going to heaven. But as long as you're still residing in the body, you have to deal with something called practical separation. Now, as a Christian, the Bible says, I am to live as set apart unto God. As long as I'm in this body, the Bible commands me, now I'm going to heaven no matter whether I go as a drunk or whether I go as somebody that's walking as straight as I can. There's all kind of Christians that are drunks. There's all kind of Christians that are dope heads and drug addicts. I mean, Christians can do anything that an ungodly man can do as long as he's in that body because it's flesh. The only thing a Christian can't do is die and go to hell. And that's because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. Not what we did. I didn't do anything to get saved. The Lord saved me. It's by grace. When you believe on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born again, the Bible says. And I didn't do anything to earn it. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. So, you're born again. You're on your way to heaven. There's nothing that can change that. But while you're in that body, you have to live a practical separation. In other words, practical. You have to practice separation. Why? Because that flesh that you have, and you have enemies, and that flesh that you have doesn't want to do anything good. It wants what it wants, and the Spirit warreth, the Bible says, the Spirit warreth against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another. Remember the old cartoons where the guy would be standing there, and he'd be tempted to do something, and you would see an angel pop up on one of his shoulders, and a devil pop up on the other shoulder, and one of them's talking in one side of his head, and the other one's talking in the other side, and he can't figure out what to do? That's exactly how it is. Your flesh doesn't want to do anything good. It's not saved. It's going back to the dirt. It's corrupt. It's going to die. But your soul is going somewhere. And if you're born again, your soul, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. You're going to be with the Lord. And you're going to get a brand new body back, the Lord said, and it's going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and it's going to be perfect and not sinful. But the problem is now is that you're in the body and you're born again and your spirit has been revived. It has been regenerated. You're alive unto God. You understand spiritual things. That is the sixth sense, not scent. The sixth sense that a man has is that his spirit is awakened. He understands spiritual things. The Bible says that spiritual things and things of the Bible are foolishness unto the natural man because he doesn't understand them, because his spirit is dead. A man is born with a dead spirit. And it has to be born again. It has to be quickened, awakened. And God the Holy Ghost does that, see. So practical separation is something that you practice while you're in the body. And something that you have to do to be pleasing to God and please and walk pleasing unto your Lord. Can you sin as a Christian? Absolutely. But do you want to? Should you want to? No, you should not. After all that the Lord has done for you, you should want to walk upright and clean before Him. And after all that you've got to look forward to, you shouldn't be running around like a stupid idiot in your body down here shaming your Lord. And the Lord ain't going to let you get away with that, by the way, for too long. He'll either kill you or He'll make you so stinking miserable in that body that you'll want to die. The Lord ain't going to let you do it because He become your Father when you got born again, and He's not going to put up with it. It says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son with whom He has to do. He'll tear your hind end up and you'll know it straight from Him. He said He'll meet you face to face. The Lord doesn't hide behind no corner. He ain't scared of you and He ain't scared of me. He'll come out with that belt and He'll tear your hind end up and He'll make you want to do right. Practical separation. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, the Bible, when it uses the word conversation, sometimes it's talking about you using your mouth and your tongue and the words that come back and forth between you and another person. But a lot of times when the Bible uses the word conversation, it's talking about the manner of life that you live, your conversation, the way that you live and the way that you conduct yourself. That's the way we're talking about right here. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And by the way, that's New Testament Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, saying that. That's not Old Testament under the law. This is New Testament practical separation under grace. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You see, practical separation, separation that you practice. You separate yourself from things. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13 and 14 says this, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now you see, that verse right there is full of separation. It's full of something called practical separation. Separation that you practice as a Christian while you're in the body. Let's read it again. Let us walk honestly. Do you have to practice to be honest? You know, when you talk to somebody, the reason the Lord tells us, he that keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You know, the Lord tells us to study to be quiet. How come? Because if me and you talk more than about 15 minutes, one of us is going to tell a lie. You see how that goes? If we talk just a little bit longer than what we need to say things that are necessary, one of us is going to start maybe coming up with some things that we ought not be saying or not be hearing. You see, let us walk honestly, the Bible says. So practical separation would be what? while you're in the body, you say, well, I'm saved. I'm a Christian now. Yeah, but you still have to walk honestly. The idea is to be like your Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord is conforming you into the image of His Son. He's making you and conforming you and changing you, changing your mind and your behavior and everything about you, and making you like His Son, Jesus Christ. Was Jesus an honest person? You better believe He was. So the Lord wants you to walk honestly. And walking honestly is just simply right. A Christian that walks dishonestly, is that right? A Christian that walks around lying all the time and lying to this and lying to that, is that a Christian like his Lord? Of course not. That's ignorant. Let us walk honestly. That's practical separation. You have to practice being honest. As in the day, not in rioting. Why don't you go out and join some of these, these minorities that are burning down buildings and rioting and everything else? Should that be a Christian's behavior? The Bible says, not in rioting and drunkenness. Should Christians be in the bar room? I used to frequent bar rooms. But a Christian shouldn't be in a stinking bar room and be a drunk. Why not? Because that's not separation that your Lord would be pleased with. Do you have to practice it? Yes, you have to practice it. Because everywhere you drive 10 miles down the road and 10 miles back, you're going to be tempted by about 40 billboards to go down and buy you a six-pack. Everything and everybody in this world is trying to talk you into being a drunk. But the Bible says, practice practical separation. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Don't be a drunk. So you have to practice not being a drunk. That's practical separation. You're practicing separation from drunkenness. So what do you have to do to practice not being a drunk? You stay away from the bars, and you stay away from who? Drunks. People that drink. Why? Because I drink if I get around people that drink. And I give my flesh. I remember what I used to feel like and what I used to do. You know, for them to say it only takes one drink to get started, get it kicked off again. Is that true? You better believe it's true. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, always walking around wanting something. Thinking that you need something, coveting. That's all your television and all that stinking one-eyed monster and all that stupid stuff teaches you when you watch it. Makes you want to have to get up and run to the store because you need something. It's hard to be a content person in this society and practice contentedness. The Lord said, let us be content with such things as you have. You have enough. If you got enough, you got enough. You don't need anything else. But that's not what the world teaches you. You drive 10 miles out and 10 miles out and 10 miles back, you got 40 billboards telling you what you're missing out on. Go get you one of these. Make you go down and sign a paper for $50,000 when you ain't even got enough money to pay one payment. But they'll give it to you. They put you in debt bigger than anything. But you sit and watch 30 minutes of that television, they've done put about 50 advertisements in your mind and pictures in your mind of what you're missing out on. Covetousness, wantonness. The Bible tells us to practice separation on these things, you see. Not in strife and not in envying. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what is practical separation? It's on purpose not to make provision for the flesh, not to provide for the lusts of the flesh. The flesh is always wanting something. That flesh loves that television because it can soak up all that lust and all them naked women and all that cussing and all that drinking, all that advertisement and all the just all that stuff. It soaks it all up. It loves it. The Bible says that we should practice separation. There's two different kinds of separation. Do you remember what they were? Positional separation. That's cannot be changed. Positionally, as a Christian, you are sealed by God the Holy Ghost and you're on your way to heaven and nothing can change that. That's positional separation. Practical separation can change day by day, hour by hour. One day you be living for the Lord, and you go out and you give that flesh occasion, and you go out and buy you an 8-ball of cocaine and start messing with that stuff again, and your practical separation, your practicing separation is ruined. And down the ditch you go again. So, positional separation and practical separation. Two different kinds of separation. Now, there's two important features to separation. Two sides of the coin, if you will. One is to be separated to something, and one is to be separated away from something. You see, the world, when they talk about separation, they only talk about one side of the coin. They talk about you being separated unto us. Not from away from us, but to us. But they don't talk about separation that has to do with being separated away from something. They only talk about the side of the coin that's talking about being separated to them to satisfy their wickedness and their devilment and make them feel better about their stupid selves. The Bible teaches to be separated to the Lord. And on the other side of the coin, the Bible teaches us to be separated from, away from, ungodliness. Both of those have to be practiced. Separated to the Lord and separated away from ungodliness. Both of them have to be practiced. Practical separation. Now listen to this. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's talking to the saved people, talking to the bride of Christ. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least that you can do with all you've got to look forward to. Everything that the Lord has done for you and everything the Lord is doing and has waiting for you, the least that you can do is serve Him and try to be holy and acceptable unto Him and to make sacrifices for Him. Listen to it again. This is one side of the coin. Separation to the Lord. The Bible says, let us walk honestly, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your, what? Your body. Remember, you're living in the body. So you present your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. How do you present it? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's one side of the coin having to do with practicing separation, practical separation. You separate to the Lord. Now, the other side of the coin, separate away from ungodliness. Okay? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be part of the world and the world system and the ungodliness is in the world. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, verse 1 shows us one side of the coin, separation to the Lord. And then Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 shows us the other side of the coin, separation away from ungodliness. It's one thing to be separated to the Lord and not to be separated away from ungodliness. It doesn't work. I remember how whenever I wasn't serving the Lord and I was saved and I was walking around embarrassing the Lord the way I was behaving. Oh, I had me a Bible opened up on a little dolly laying right by the door, and when people come in, they see my Bible open and see how holy I was. But at the same time, I was carrying dope in my pocket, walking in and out of the house, passing by that Bible sitting there all the time, and bringing in cases of beer and going out and everything else and bringing dope in and all kind of ungodliness. I was separate. I had my Bible sitting there, but I wasn't separated away from nothing. You see, I wasn't practicing practical separation away from anything. I had the dope, and I had the drugs, and I had the beer, and I had the this, and the cussing, and the ungodliness, and the dirty jokes, and all that kind of garbage. Hadn't separated any of that out of my life, but I had my Bible there. It don't work that way. You have to practice both sides of the coin at the same time. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, practical separation, a great responsibility for a Christian, and a sacrifice, because it sure does take sacrifice. With all the temptations and the lust and the people and everything else that are going nuts and screwballs in this world nowadays, and all the things that they say are normal anymore that aren't normal, it's hard. It's hard not to get sucked into it. That's why you have to practice it. And the only way that you practice something is that you do it on purpose. You do it on purpose. You have purpose behind it. You do it on purpose. Positional separation, you don't have to do nothing. The Lord's already done that. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, He positionally took you, adopted you into His family, and you're on your way to heaven. Nothing can change that. But practical separation, I don't know if you're going to live 5 years. You might die tomorrow. Your body die tomorrow and you go to be with the Lord. You might live till be 100 years old. I don't know. None of us do. But practical separation, if you're going to live in that body and you're going to be pleasing to the Lord, you have to practice separation. And both sides of the coin at the same time. Practice to the Lord and practice away from ungodliness. Because it just doesn't work on one side of the coin. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17, the Bible says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Has nothing to do with whether or not you're going to heaven. It has to do with how you're going to live and the peace that you're going to have and how you're going to please your Lord down here. Listen, it says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. How do you know you're going in the right direction? You know, a lot of times you can't see in front of you. You don't know if the way that you're going is right. So how do you know that the way, a lot of times when you look forward, you can't see if you're going in the right direction. It's kind of foggy out there. This world is so stupid and it's got things so mixed up, you can't tell right from wrong anymore. So how do you know that you're going in the right direction? Well, a lot of times you can't see it in front of you, but you can see it behind you. The Bible says the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. A lot of times you can't tell whether you're going in the right direction until you turn around and see that you're going away from the wrong direction. Did you get that? The one way that you tell that you're working both sides of the coin is that if you can't see in front of you to be sure that you're doing right, turn around and look behind you and see if you're going away from ungodliness. If you're going away from ungodliness, you're going in the right direction. Did you get that? Okay. All right. Well, that's all we're going to do today and all we're going to talk about when it comes to this separation. It's a pretty good introduction there, having to do with separation and talking about getting into the Scriptures and seeing what God's mind and God's perfect mind is concerning separation, what the Bible says that God wants you to separate from. Don't listen to the 11 o'clock news and the 9 o'clock news and the 7 o'clock news and all the news in news about teaching you what separation is. They have no idea what you should separate from. No idea. What you should be interested in having to do with separation is what the Bible says, what God says is right and wrong about separation. Okay? And that's what we're going to study. So let me give you these scriptures for today. You ready? Got your pencil sharpened? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33. James chapter 3 and verse 11. Excuse my voice. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Psalm chapter 92, verse 15. John chapter 7, verse 18. And then we have Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. We got Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and then Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And then we had Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17. All right. Well, that's today's study, and a good kickoff to the study of number 19 in the ABCs of Christian growth, the letter S for separation and what the Bible says. What does it say? Not what people think it says, not what so-and-so says it says. What does the Bible say? And we believe that God's Word is indeed His words. And if that's what you believe, then you have a final authority and you can base what you believe in your doctrine on a final authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who do you know that became flesh and dwelled among us? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then, according to that, the Bible says that Jesus is God's Word. And He left His words with us in written form that we can read them and know what the mind of our God is. And you got God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you to explain it to you and to teach it to you. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. All right, the letter S. We'll stop right there, and I wish you a good afternoon or morning or whatever it is. How about just a good day? And thank you for studying God's Word. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman. And I'll talk to you on the next recording, okay? Bye-bye.